It's just that then we get into the next phase of that, and it's like, okay, are we talking about, when you say compromising politicians and whatnot, are we talking about trying to get something done and arguing towards that, or doing this? You know, it's like we were talking last week about, I think how we lumbered into that discussion was Paul Ryan's bill,
Oh, the budget
the
plan that
budget
passed.
amendment, or the budget agreement that they came up with. And, you know, a lot of the analysis on the Republican side that I was able to hear, people were talking about, you know, hey, you guys have got to just settle down and take this, because what we're trying to do is now we can remove all this other stuff from the table, and we can just focus on how bad Obamacare is. So I don't know if that's like, okay, we got a budget agreement so that we can now move forward in running the country, or so that we can now continue this one battle.
It's
That.
they do it so they can look reasonable to the, you know, the moderate American who probably doesn't follow politics, and then they can run the fat guy here in a couple of years and be like,
Right.
"Yeah, we're not radical. We're not really trying to change anything. You don't have to be afraid of us." So, I think that's the thinking there with that.
Right.
But yeah, it's just really sad when, you know, a select group of people care more about the rights of a reality star where it's, you know, scripted and fake compared to their own rights. So I think this past week was very telling. It was another wake up for me where it's, you know, where I've thought as a country we've kind of made some progress in some areas, and you know, I thought people like Ron Paul and, you know, shows like this have really, you know, awakened some people, but it just kind of shows, you know, we have a lot more work to do.
Well, I'm glad that you take that stance on it, and not just goes to show you it's not doing any good, because it just means we got more work to do. It doesn't mean that it's not doing any good. There are people who see through this stuff every day, who are building. This is where I was talking with Ben about. It's like, I believe in my heart, maybe here on this radio show, in these wee small hours of the night, there are people holding two somewhat conflicting viewpoints and finding out how to merge them so that we can come up with the People's Party or the People's Representation, right? So that those the people on the Occupy side and those the people on the Tea Party side start to see how they can come together outside of like the leadership. Because the leadership's going to be like, you know, we're the Tea Party and we don't talk to Democrats. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to
Right.
make it kind of hard for those people to come together if you don't talk. And I'm not saying it's not the same, or, you know, that there's not a like, you know, an opposite and an equal force on the other side. Because I've mentioned to people who were diehard liberal types, right? And you mention names to them and say, you know, I heard, or I was having to listen to a discussion, or I had a discussion with, and it's like that is the end of it. They really don't have anything that that man, woman, person has to say is irrelevant to anything. And so now we can't even discuss the idea. And so that's where, you know, you start having problems, and hopefully we'll push through that
Right.
part. That's the part, and that's the part that takes time. And that was the thing that stayed with me from my discussion with Ben last week, is that, you know, we are looking at, and I kept talking about this within a chamber, and you know, the dynamic of our democracy, and the thing that keeps bubbling up in my, you know, how I'm seeing it, you know, envisioning it, is like a time release pill, right? Like it's all in there, but it doesn't all come out at once. It has to,
Right.
you know, pieces have to mix together and do the, what do they call the, you know, their chemical reactions have to take place before they become a bigger, larger, different chemical reaction that then does whatever it is. And, you know, I'm not pumping big pharma, I'm just saying, that there is some real thing that is happening there, and that is happening analogous to that in American political thought and the reality.
Absolutely.
Because we are mixing ideas right here in the middle of the night.
I'll give one example, and then I'll get off here and let other people call in, because you know sometimes people are like, oh, you're too positive, you know, the
right.
American political system is wrecked. But you know, when I really saw some change was a couple months ago when they were talking about bombing Syria,
right?
And Congressman Cleaver had a town hall, and so I went to it, and wow, I mean, you had people who, you know, older white people who, you know, you could tell they're Republican leaning.
Uh-oh, I lost
them. Oh, hello?
I lost them. It wasn't you. I lost the other caller. I made the error of bringing them into the deal, and go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's see. Well, anyway, I was just saying, you know, where we're talking about where you can obviously see this mix of people coming together is, you know, like I said, when they're talking about bombing Syria, and Congressman Cleaver had this town hall, and this was going all across the nation. You know, you had old old people who were Republicans. You had, you know, young liberal people. It didn't really matter what their a party affiliation was. I mean, it was really cool to see everyone came together, and we're like, absolutely, we do not want to see, you know, another war. And that's progress, where, you know, compared to 10 years ago, where going into Iraq, everyone was, or not everyone, but you had a large majority,
right?
Was like, freedom, you know. So.
Right. No, absolutely. We are, in that respect, people are becoming aware that, you know, it ain't so simple. And I think that's really the key. And it's a lesson that we learn over and over and over and over and over again, right? And we forget it over and over and over again, too, right? That it ain't as simple as elect some guy in November and then we'll see you again in 2 years.
Absolutely.
Or six or four. It ain't that simple. You got to stay ever vigilant or else. And we have a dynamic and we have a people that sometimes we get it, sometimes we get it less than other times. But I think we always get it. We're always out there, the people who are paying attention, the people who are saying, hey, wait a minute, that guy's saying the same thing as that guy. You're just falling for the same flim-flam as that one. And then people going, hey, wait a second, you know what? He's right. It takes time for that to happen. Not everybody sees it as clearly as you or, you know, the next guy. Not everybody can go, ah, this guy's selling snake oil. Some people go, it's kind of sad. I mean, you know, I saw the guy and he couldn't move his hand. And now look, whoa, that's pretty cool. And you're like amazed at it. I'm that guy. I'll tell you. My wife has to drag me away from stuff, you know. She's like, no, we're not getting that. No, but I'm pretty sure, dear, that what he just said was that with a drop of lemon juice, you can remove years of buildup. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And she's like, yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we need that. We need to talk to one another to go, okay, wait a second, Bill. I know you're like all excited about this Ron Paul guy, but what about? And then you go, okay, well, maybe what he's saying is not 100% yeah. Maybe we need to. There are some places where we can have some differences. And I'm not saying that he's got bad ideas. I'm saying they're not all of the ideas. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
No, right.
And
absolutely.
That's where, and that happens, but that's the part that you don't see. You know, that's the digestive system in the American political deal, right? Is that's the stuff that you don't see. We see all this nonsense that goes on in Washington, and it is entirely important that we see it, and it's entirely with effect. You know what I mean? The things they do affect us, you know. But how do we, you know, how do we internalize it? How do we, you know, how does that come back into the next election and the next election? You know, but the reality of it is that sometimes things have to happen in a very fast, you know, radical changes take place, and then we have to figure it out. That's like this health thing. I mean, I know, and I think I've been pretty much on record that there's a lot about it I don't like in that, but it's the law, and it's like, okay, now we got to see what's going to happen with it. We can't just keep on just fighting it without another thing. I don't know.
Right, you got to present an alternative.
Right, and I feel like we've actually, not feel like, I know, we've had that discussion already, and so now here it is, you know, and that's the part like, okay, yeah, they did the billing, they did the bill, the budget agreement or whatever, so now they're not going to be shutdowns, and they're not going to be this, and then they did all this other stuff, and now we will have to, unfortunately, listen to a year of Obamacare sucks, and it ain't even going to work. And my guess is that it will work enough, and that enough people will be shown to have some sort of perceived improvement that it's not going to, like, go away. And so you'll be left in the next cycle, people saying how we need to amend and fix and repair and whatnot, not just overthrow and do away with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I think
right.
That's where we're going. And does that mean, oh, my God, the Democrats won? Or does that mean, oh, my God, we got 300 million people living in a society, and we got to do some things to deal with that? And we're doing it. And we like some of the things that we're doing and not some of the other things. I mean, that's where we should be, but I'm afraid that's not exactly where we are.
Well, right. I mean, you know, I hated Obamacare, and I still do. But, you know, if people are going to have health care, and, you know, I can't argue with the fact that, you know, some poor child is now going to be covered. I mean...
Well, and
no,
I even got an email this week because,
really,
you know, we see we're subjected. And caller, please don't hang up on me this time. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Hold on just a sec. But I see all these folks that have, you know, all these examples on the news channels. They find individuals who can show that, you know, hey, I went on to the Obama website, and last year I paid, you know, $5,000 insurance. This year I'm going to be paying $6,000 in insurance. That's a 20% increase. And they're, like, upset. But then I got an email from a guy this week that said, hey, you know, we hear all these stories, and I just want to put my name out there because, you know, I have been an independent contractor type guy for a long, long time, and I had this problem like for the last 10 years, but I can't get insurance because I got this problem, and now I'm going to get it. I'm covered, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but man, I can sleep a little better all of a sudden. I don't know. What am I supposed to, what do I balance that with the guy who has to pay 20% more for his health care insurance? I don't know. Because I don't know if him paying 20% more means he's getting a better policy than he had before. I don't know, because we haven't seen it yet.
Right. Right.
You know, and
still
a lot
of unknown.
Either one could unfold. But
absolutely.
Certain, you know, I mean, yeah, and that's where it is. I mean, so, Bill, I thank you, sir, for helping me here.
All right. You guys have a good night. And, Jake, I hope Santa brings you a lump of coal for being a Broncos fan.
Hey. I've already got plenty of coal.
The Jake that stole, don't worry, he's gonna get his attack at Santa at the 3 o'clock hour, right, Jake?
Santa's got something coming.
KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
This is Brother Love.
Brother Love,
Missouri.
Hey, let me. I think I said it, but I want to make sure I say that you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Go ahead, Brother Love.
You have my condolences, my deepest
Thank
condolences.
You, sir.
For your grandmother.
Thank you.
And you know, she was a freedom fighter. And you think of the things she saw in her life and the things that she's been through.
Right.
The struggle. And because she was going through Reconstruction. And see, Reconstruction has been derailed all of a sudden with this Obamacare and everything else, because there are those who are angry because of the advances of African Americans in civil rights. Period. Plain and simple. They are so angry about the advances of African Americans in civil rights that they'll do anything. They'll say anything to derail this train, because we are still in Reconstruction, but they have forgot about Reconstruction. And that's it all in the nut. But that's it all together. And, you know, this is a Christmas, man. Kwanzaa, like Ron Karenga called it. I really believe that a lot of people really need to reexamine their history. And Kwanzaa, Ron Karenga really did it. He really, really did. I heard you playing some Chuck D the other night, man.
Right, right.
Hey, and it reminds me of Kwanzaa. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
Kwanzaa will bring all of that. You know, they said Pythagoras said numbers are everything. But Pythagoras didn't invent mathematics. It was Imhotep. Do you hear me? It was Imhotep who did that. He was the first mathematician. And people really need to study, man. For those who know, their job is to teach. And for those who don't, their job is to listen, to be a disciple, a student.
And that's
so no one can make you look like a fool in the eyes of those you're trying to reach. You know, we pass this baton on, and we have spent our lives in the struggle. And there are those who haven't done their research. And then they try to take the palladium. They always get the mic in their mouth. But they're lazy, and they don't do their research, and they don't understand. And you know what? We didn't come over here all in the same ship, but we are all in the same ship together. And there are millions and millions of people that know that they need health care, know that they need it. Like the guy said, these small children, if your child gets sick and you don't have health care, come on now. And so it's not a black and white thing. It's not Obama, 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 Obama. They hate this man because of his advancements. They hate him because of his advancements in civil rights. He was not supposed to be in the White House, as far as they're concerned. And they will always keep us divided. That's what they do. We have to throw these shackles off of our mind. You can put chains on a man's body, but once you take the chains off his body, have you still got shackles on his mind? You know, and this is what's wrong with society. We have to wake up, man. We have to, because we're all in this together now. Have a good night, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Always good when Brother Love calls. KKFI, you're near. Which name, what part of town you calling from?
Oh, this is Russ calling in.
Russ, what's happening, sir? I've got you. What's going on, sir?
Oh, this is Russ.
What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Fine. Yeah, you're fine. My phone's not working that well. No, I don't know. Since the last caller was talking about Obamacare, I think people are going to be rudely surprised that the health care outcomes are not going to be equalized, because not each person is making much of an effort to do anything about their own personal health.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is, like,
right, we're not, I mean, you can't be slamming down Big Macs and then looking for a good doctor. That's not
the solution. I mean, my personal opinion has always been that you might as well go for universal health care like they have in Europe. Of course, I realize we've had over 100 years, or maybe, well, I guess even longer than that, it's sort of a hybrid system of private public.
Right.
And, you know, if the government would have went for a single payer, it would have destroyed the health insurance companies, which would have led a lot of people off. But, you know, my point is, I see all these articles about health care disparities between groups of people. And I don't think that just because you can go to a doctor now that you're necessarily going to go to a doctor. I think what's going to happen is that a lot of people that now are going to have a medical card, I think they're still going to go to the. I still think they're going to go to the emergency rooms.
No, absolutely.
Because they're almost like Pavlov's dogs in a sense.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to call them Pavlov's dogs. I'll just say that this is how they've been doing it for the last 40 years or 30 years or however old they are. And well, it'll take time for that to be the new way that things are done. I'm sure that people who are starting out their lives right now, right? Like if you are the younger guy who just started the workforce and you are going, oh, this healthcare thing. Oh, okay. I mean, it's a different thing than if you are a middle-aged guy who has never had health insurance and this is how you've done it. Yeah, that's how you're going to continue to do it, or a significant portion will.
Well, of course, I'm not saying your buddy's dog, but no, I
understand that. I'm just saying that it's not as cut and dry, just a Pavlovian response. It's kind of a, it's what do they call that? The hardwiring of the neurons. You know what I mean? It's like, well, this is what you do because it's what you've always done, and you can reshape the activity, reshape the responses, but it's going to take time.
Well, I might have mentioned this before on the show a few years ago, but I've got two friends, or I should say acquaintances. Both of them had triple bypass surgery a few years ago, and it didn't cost them a dime because they were prior military. And yet, after the triple bypass surgery, which is expensive and quite traumatic, obviously, they both went right back to their same bad habits.
Right.
You know, it's almost like in a sense, like I can go out. You know, it's almost like in a sense the people know that subconsciously there's a safety net here that you can get shot on the street or something. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, somebody will take me to the hospital. I'll get some level of treatment.
Well, surely that is exactly what people are thinking. And in fact, those of you who argue against health care, use that as part of your argument, right? Because when we say, we must have health care because people can't, you know, babies will die in the streets. And then you go, people are not going to die in the street. You can go to any hospital in America and they'll take care of you. That's the argument.
Well, right. I mean,
right?
But
that's the argument against the health care, is that we already got it taken care of. There is this catastrophic, like, last thing, nobody's going to let you die in the street. So just calm down, everyone. Really.
Well, I do think that after, you know, it's interesting. I work with a lot of people who are, like, in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised how many of them have no clue about Obamacare. They had no clue that they, you know, these are some people that there's a two-tier wage system here, which, you know, they're not
getting
health insurance here.
Right, they're getting this new thing that got foisted on, not the thing that the older folks have with the premium health care plan, right?
Well, right, and my point is, though, that these people weren't even aware of Obamacare. They weren't even aware of the details or what
absolutely,
they need to do.
Absolutely, and you know what part of that is I, and now I'm going to get what might be perceived as partisan, but a part of them not knowing what Obamacare is, or affordable health care, whatever,
right.
not part of them not knowing what it is and how it'll work and what to do and not wanting to sign up and all of this stuff is because we spent the entire time since it passed trying to unpass it and make it seem as though it ain't a law, it's under discussion. So,
well, I understand that argument,
but
I think
the kind of person who watches the news every once in a while, you go like, man, they're still arguing about health care? When are they ever going to pass or just either pass it or don't? But let's move on.
Well,
mean they passed it 4 years ago?
Yeah, but once again, I realize my sample is rather small here, but a lot of people I've talked to in their 20s, they don't have a clue.
Right, they don't have
they're too busy on Facebook or they're too busy playing Animal Farm or whatever it is.
But do you understand, Russ, that they don't have a clue because it has been obfuscated? You make it seem as though they don't know because they just don't know. But part of
they don't know because they don't even make an effort to know.
But it's there in front of them every day. every day on the front page of the paper and on the front page of Yahoo.
Yeah, but they don't read the front page of the paper.
Wherever, that's why I threw in Yahoo and Twitter and everything else. Everywhere they go, where they go to learn about what movie Will Smith is in, they're going to see a headline that says, "Hey, Congress is shutting down the government because they don't want Obama to pass." And then you go, "Okay, wait a second. Then Obama hasn't passed. So if they're trying to stop it from passing, that means it hasn't passed. So screw it. They need to figure this thing out. I mean, I'm 20 years old. I got girls to catch."
Well, exactly. You know what
I
mean?
I got health care problems to get so I can need health care. Of course they don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. And if you take advantage of that low information voter and throw out some obfuscation, right, like 5 years or what has it been? Is it 5 years? 3 years?
3 years.
Four years. Of, we got to stop this thing. They were stopping this thing on the day it opened, right? I mean, the day that that healthcare came to America, the dawn of a new generation, right? On that day, they shut the government down. Now you'll say, not you, but there are those who will say that, well, Obama shut the government down, by the way. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he knew that they would do something.
Well, that's too
many
they did
weeds. They did it. You know, to say that, you know, he started the fight because, you know, he did something that he knew would make me hit him. You know, my kids do this all the time. Right, my kids, the little one, will sit there and he won't touch his older brother, but he'll do the stuff that he knows is going to make his older brother smack him. So that then when I go, "Hey, you are in trouble for hitting your brother." "Well, he did it to make me do it." "Well, then you're the one who did it knowing that that was what he was trying to do."
Well,
does
I
that
think,
make
I
sense?
Think, well,
Am
yeah,
I
but
wrong
I think the bottom.
In teaching my kid to not let someone force you into a reaction if that reaction is going to cause you problems? Because that's where the Republicans found themselves in October, right?
Well, that's true. But I think it's going to be, and this is my opinion, is that it's going to be 10 years before the dust settles. It's going to be that long. And I say that because, like I said earlier, with the health care disparities, with people that don't have a clue, with the high deductibles on these policies, yeah, you're covered. If you make less than $40,000 a year, you're getting basically on Medicare. You're being put on Medicare where you're not paying. Mm-hmm. The only way this thing is going to work is the people between 20 and 40 that make more than $40,000 a year, if they buy health insurance. And I've looked at these myself, the deductibles are just way high like crazy. We're talking $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 deductibles.
For the year.
Yeah, for the year. What I'm saying is
on health care.
Well, right. What I'm saying is if you're in your
20s. But wait a second. See, because here we are, we're talking about deductibles, and so we're saying that they don't need health care. So
now, what I'm saying is that the whole thing rests on the idea that 20 and 40-year-olds are going to sign up for health care that they don't have now, but they're going to get sticker shock when they have to actually pay the money for it.
Right, and to be fair, right, under the old system, they didn't pay anything, and then they got sticker shocked when they were 32, and they got diabetes, and they couldn't
get healthcare. Well, that's the argument, but
or they were 31, and they got hit by a car, and suddenly needed a lifetime support, and now they don't have it because they don't have health care. Or you know what I'm saying? There are other. Sure.
Well,
but let's look at all of it and then kind of make some decisions and not just like cherry pick. Oh, here's somebody who had a 20% increase in their health care costs. And
well,
then
this
go,
is a this
that's
is
the
a well,
end of
this
that.
Is a, you
I don't
know mathematically,
know that
this is a
it.
Mathematically, this is a wealth transference from the shrinking middle class to the underclass. I mean, there's no way you can look at the numbers and not come to that conclusion.
Well, everything you do, you can look at if you do it. Right. If you're gonna call it that, I mean, you can just look at everything as it's a wealth transfer that we're taking money and dumping it into Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a that if you choose to look at it that way, then okay, your argument is golden. But if you don't look at it that way, if you look at it like we have people in this country who are don't have health care, and we are trying to manage it because, as you and I, let's look at this from a larger context. And Drew, welcome to the conversation. We have all these people that you and I have talked to over years and years and years about how we're all together in this country. And we're coming up with ways to eliminate the workforce. We're coming up with ways to reduce how many people you need to do that, to reduce whether you need people to do that, to make it so much that one person can do the job of 10 people with ease, and all this stuff. So we're going to have this situation where there will be fewer people needed to do what is done today, right?
I'm an underclass.
Right? And now you have the question before you, okay? And you've asked this question explicitly, and now you're arguing against doing something along that line. It's like, okay, what are we going to do with all these people who we don't even need to work? We got two options from my perspective, right? We can either find a way to get rid of them, whether that be kill them, cut off baby making, or whatever. Right. We can come up with a one child policy or sterilize people who don't make enough money or whatever it is we can do to reduce the population, or come to grips with the fact that, well, since there are 300 million of us and we really only need 100 million of us to do the things that need to be done, we can come up with another way of doing it. I don't know what that is. Maybe you get a 3-month vacation every year because that's the way we handle the labor shortage. Or the labor surplus. I don't know how we do it, but I know that if we're going to have people who are tied to health care at a job, and then we get rid of the jobs, then it's going to be kind of hard to give health care to people.
That's why I've always leaned quite heavily toward a single-payer system.
Then what the hell are you complaining about? What's up, Drew?
Well, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just pointing that out. That's all.
I know you're pointing it out, but you're pointing it out in such a way that says, hey, we might want to deal with this. And I'm saying, what do we got to deal with? We're going to have extra people. And that means some people are going to get free stuff, or we're going to have to get rid of those people. And,
I can't really argue against that point.
The last guy who came up with a way to systematically get rid of some people, well, we don't call them. I mean, some people call them a lever, right, Drew? I mean, you and Mal, you guys are together. But I like throwing digs at you guys because I just want you to know I love you. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, we got to deal with this stuff one way or the other. And we can come up with a way and go, okay, how do we call the society and reduce the number of people? Well, let's see. If you don't have a high enough test score, I'm okay with that because my test scores have always been high.
There's already a process happening, and that is people that are better educated are only having one or two children. They can't.
That is a natural thing. So then let us come up with how we're going to handle all these folks. And well,
all right, I'm going to let you Babylon.
All right. I'm not sure if he was talking about Babylon or if he was saying Babylon. Silly man, you. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, Mike.
It's hard. It is rare that you can't find a way to get a word in edgewise.
Well, I was actually going to ask Russ what his girlfriend thought about the Ukraine and what's going on with their joining the EU was one of the things.
They hung up right as I was answering the phone. You know, he mentioned that a few weeks ago, and there are parts of this that are different than what we see, and that's, you know,
well, it's Ukraine basically giving up their sovereignty as a nation.
To the Russian folks?
Yeah. No, to the EU. If you join the EU, you're giving up your sovereignty as a country. You can't print your own money anymore.
Okay, so you're on the Putin side.
It's basically, here's the decision between the devil you know and the devil you don't know. Because neither one is great. The only thing I can say with the Putin one is that Ukraine, as far as I know, they still keep their sovereignty as a nation. When you look at the EU, why is there an EU constitution?
It's not it's supposed to just be them trading with each other. It's not supposed them supposed to be a separate nation, but that's what it is. They've become a separate nation. They can call it what they want.
Drew,
they can
I'm afraid you are a little bit behind. The European Union, my friend, is the beast. It is the New World Order.
Oh, I would agree. I would totally agree with that. I you should have seen how angry one person I talked to got who came from Greece when I told her your country gave up their sovereignty when they joined the EU. You wouldn't believe how angry she got. When you can't print your own money.
Because you said that, or she was in agreeing with you?
No, she was mad when I said it. When I said her country gave up its sovereignty when it joined the EU, she steadfastly refused to believe that.
I don't know. Is that the worst thing?
I think it's a horrible thing.
Why?
A new world order. I don't want my
I'm
my culture shoved down every other country's throats.
Well,
I don't want another country's culture shoved down my throat.
Okay, but let's look at the argument for it or against it. And we have another caller in here with us. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
It's Brother Love again.
Brother Love, what's happening, sir?
I want to say that. You were right on the money when you were talking to this guy. I mean, you know, when you go to the hospital now, if an old person, an elderly person, gets pneumonia, okay, I mean, and don't let them have heart complications, they will deny them of oxygen. I mean, really, actually, they say that it's a means of artificial life support. You know, any reason to kill the people. It's like the French an English Revolution just killed these people. And it was Romney Care. Governor Romney, George Romney, started this Romney Care. You know, his affirmative action, his fair housing, and all the rest of that. And when Romney started implementing, putting this into law because it was a civil rights bill that was passed, then Nixon wanted to make Romney governor of Mexico. So George Romney resigned. This is why they asked Mitt Romney, was the son born in Mexico. And he wants to get as far away from his father's legacy as possible. But when it was white people who needed this Romney care, it's okay. But when it spills over to the rest of society that's separate and unequal, then it's a problem. And this guy has to rant and rave like a freaking lunatic all night long to make his point. He's just fascist. You know, just he needs to own up to it.
Who are you talking about? Okay.
I think he was talking about Russ, I'm guessing.
I was getting the ranting and ravens mixed up, but it's all good. What I'm saying... Where were we at, Drew?
We were talking about the EU, and you yourself even agreed.
Although I would
submit the New World Order.
There were some pushback even when Romney tried to do it, but go ahead.
Well, we were talking about the you even agree with me, New World Order. My argument is there's no longer sovereignty. You're giving up your nation status, and I have a real issue with that. I think I've come to the conclusion that the more you decentralize stuff in general, the better it works out. Honestly, the more efficient it is for people in general. Like, I mean, for their benefit, not corporate efficiency, not bureaucratic efficiency, but for people
right,
in general.
Let's stay away from the edges for just a moment and kind of examine that a little bit, if you don't mind. When you say the more you decentralize stuff, are you content then with, you know, I mean.
I'm talking about.
But you like the centralized health care. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm talking about staying as far away from this overwhelming, overbearing giant, well, what corporations and government stuff.
Let's also look at one other thing here, that because I've always thought this was an interesting observation on my part. For me, not necessarily for everybody else. Yeah. But the United States is damn near as big as Europe.
Well, and
right?
Are you talking about just the general size of our country or our government?
Our country versus that continent.
Okay.
We're damn near as big as they are, right?
Yeah.
Damn near as many people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the state of California has as many people as two or three of those countries.
Oh, yeah.
The state of Missouri has as many people as the country of Luxembourg, right?
Yeah.
I just kind of remember seeing that somewhere. But you're not losing your mind that California and Missouri have central government, that they have a central, a common U.S. Constitution. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying in that respect, but people together
get together to decide their rules for how they're going to live, and they can decide within that chamber how they will express the human dynamic, right? The political dynamic, the cultural dynamic will express itself within that. I mean, I don't see the European Union. My wife, you know, I've argued against the European Union for a number of years as well, right? Like, the problem that I have with the European Union is that it didn't exist, and then all of a sudden they're having a freaking 50-year anniversary. That, to me, says, well, then you were calling all those people liars
who were always saying, yeah, this is coming down the pipe, yeah.
So that makes me think that you're a liar because you were trying to cover who you are and where you're coming from. So I'm not against the idea of people spread over a large geographical area having a common political identity to cut down on the strife. I mean, I just think over the last, in my lifetime, I just had my birthday Friday. I'm 47 years old now. I know in my lifetime, I have seen problems within this country that could have resulted in wars between states.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like the South versus the North. I'm talking about like, you know, Tennessee versus Georgia over the water.
Because Tennessee's sucking up water.
The Georgia feels like it belongs to them. They're just sucking it up because, well, they're higher up. You know, they're further
the
up
food
north.
Chain. Yeah.
They're getting it before it gets down there. You know, so there have been problems that could be serious if we didn't have a common political identity, and that's what the European Union espouses to be and to. To emulate or to, you know, put their spin on or whatever.
But I would argue the overarching thing that we've seen over the last few years is it's an honest to God failure, and they're basically trying to pump water out of what is essentially a sinking ship, and they're not, and the water they're pumping out isn't even their water. They're taking people's money.
I'm going to spin you back to the healthcare thing and say to you, like, you don't think this is the best healthcare bill.
Are you asking me about the healthcare?
I'm asking you. Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
We've had several conversations.
I want single payer.
This is the best healthcare bill. However, you are not trying to undermine and undo this health care bill. You'd like to see it go further. You'd like to make changes.
I'd like to see a single payer.
And I would submit to you that a overarching political and or economic system for a continent that has plunged this world into war twice in the last century. Okay. Yeah. This is 1913. So yeah. So twice in the last century. And before that, spent all kinds of time in their own wars, right? In Europe. Right? That a political economic entity to stave that condition off is what is kind of needed.
I mean, they're so unique. Cultural identities. I mean, you see the Germans telling the Greeks how to spend their money. You can't stop the Greeks from spending money like, I'm sorry, I'm going to piss someone Greek off when I say this.
New Yorkers telling the Georgians how to do who to marry.
Well, except we're talking the purse strings are being held by Germany and of Greece's money.
Right, and the purse strings for Louisiana were being held when they refused to raise the drinking age. And I don't agree with the U.S. government holding
the purse strings on all this state's money.
Right, I agree, but you're not trying to do away with the United States government.
I think the state should have more power.
To have slavery, they should have slavery.
No, I agree, but I think the state should have more power in the United States.
But what I'm saying is, in our interest of being against, you know, a certain policy or a certain thing, when we argue so vehemently against something, and we got to watch our rhetoric, you know, because it makes it hard to have the conversation about what should Europe do if you just say, like, that is the New World Order and that is the end game. Because now it becomes a question of, okay, so what would you prefer to do? Would you like to disband the economic union and go back to, you know, these are all a bunch of different states and, you know, whatever happens, or do you say, okay, we've got this economic union now. We're here at the table. We have some ties that make us sit together. Because we are tied together, you can't just get up and go off and do your own thing. You have to sit down here and talk with us as a whole, and now we'll work this out.
Well, and when you say economic, I can only think of one word that comes to mind when I look at the European Union when you say this, and I mean this in the past. NAFTA. We saw what NAFTA did, and we see what European Union NAFTA is doing to them. And I'm speaking specifically of the countries like Slovakia and all these Eastern Baltic states.
So then let me ask the question now. Are you against trade agreements or against the specifics of NAFTA? See,
I'm against free trade agreements. I'm pro fair trade.
Is what I'm saying. We got to be careful about throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
I'm pro fair trade. I'm anti free trade. Fair trade means that you actually get a fair trade and someone's not getting shafted in the whole deal. Free trade is what we have to argue for
and not just be against. See, it's the same thing as I was saying with the healthcare thing. You know, to be against. You're some kind of a knucklehead monster if you're against health care.
Well, you know me, I'm single payer like I said.
No. I'm saying anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody makes the case. I'm against health care. I think people should die in the streets. No one makes that argument.
Maybe someone from the 20s or the 30s.
So the real question is, okay, you're against what I'm proposing. What are you proposing? And if the response is crickets, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose that argument. And so you got to have something. So what would you have the economic union look like?
Well, I would say for one, some countries you have to especially leave their purse strings up to the country because you're never. With Greece, it's Greece.
Okay, when you say that, let me stop and unpack that for you, or unpack it so I understand what you're saying. Because when you say leave their purse strings to themselves, you sound as though you're arguing against, and I'm going to try and do what is always a bad thing for me to do, is to surf the web and talk to you. But I'm not exactly sure how the European Economic Union is set up. As far as, you know, what is the budget of East and West Germany anymore. You know, what is the budget of Germany versus the budget of France? I don't know that they aren't in control of their purse strings in that respect.
Now, Germany,
when you're talking about the value of a dollar or a euro and whether or not one country has francs and marks and then another country, well, you know, one franc, one mark, or, hey, we all got the euro. You see what I'm saying? I mean, is it that you are against so that we can adequately attack
that? Well, let me put
it
to you this way. The majority credit holder in this stake, for the most part, a lot of it is first and foremost for the European Union is Germany, and then after it was like France or Italy, and we saw that topple like dominoes, what with Greece being brought in through shifty banking practices, but that's another matter entirely, shifting debt around. But Germany is the one that has all this solvency. They're the most financially solvent, as it were, of this whole thing. So they're the ones mainly who can loan the money, who have the, quote, money to lend.
Right. And I did not know this until, like, within the last month, doing some history, some of my history learning that I do. The Germany just is like a conglomeration of states that said, hey, we're going to be a country tomorrow. Did you know that?
That doesn't surprise me, like considering I believe they were Prussia at one time, 18, I think, too.
1850-something?
Germany just said, we're not Prussia anymore?
Yeah, they just said, like, okay, this prince and that prince and that prince got together and said, okay, you're going to be the big prince. We'll be here, we'll be there, but we're going to be a new country. We're going to call ourselves Germany. We are no longer the Prussian empire or whatever the
Kingdom,
hell it was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They did that as an economic union in the 1870s.
Right, and a lot of countries did. You know, it's deep down a rabbit hole, but the Civil War was about turning us from a republic into a corporate entity. You know, a lot of countries have figured this out. And
totally agree.
Yeah, they do it in stages on down the line, but it's, you know, even if you read the Treaty of Paris that allegedly ended the Revolutionary War in 1789, I believe, is when it was finally signed, or whatever it was. If you read that, the King George signed the peace treaty on his terms, and if you read his signature, and this is the Library of Congress, not some kooky website, that he signed the thing. King George, whatever, King of England, King of France, King of Luxembourg, and the Treasurer of the Holy Roman Empire, Vatican, whatever. So, you know, I'm not sure how the European Union breaks down now, but I know in the 1700s there was, you know, a pecking order of the kings themselves that, you know, a lot of the, you know, see, people think the New World Order is coming. When Washington, D.C. was instituted, the Vatican was the first city-state. That was leg one. The City of London was leg two. And then the, because the Vatican was real estate, the City of London was financial, and then Washington, D.C. was the military. The three-headed monster of the New World Order was instituted once Washington, D.C. became the capital of the corporate entity, United States. The country, the United States of America, was dissolved after the Civil War, and the New World Order is in full force through the triumvirate of the city-states, Vatican, City of London, and Washington, D.C.
However, if you choose to, like, make the speed limit 65, you can do it.
Interesting.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know, because I hear what you're saying there, Jake, and wrapping my head around that takes some doing. Because ultimately, it comes down to we still have the right ability, because we're people.
We do, and that's the point I'm making. They set this
right
up. See, because, like, even churches, and Jordan Maxwell gets into this when, you know, you see all of the different denominations of Christianity. Well, at some point, you know, programming loses its effectiveness, and then you've got to, you
know, rebrainwash.
Yeah, you've got to branch it off just a little bit, and just a little bit. And so you rebrand it, and you repackage it, and you rebrand it, and you repackage it, just like currency. You know, there weren't, you know, always the same amount of, you know, paper currency was, you know, few and far between at one point in time. Everybody dealt with coins.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you can only stretch that market so thin, and then you got paper currency. Then you can only stretch that market so thin, and then you got checks. And you can only stretch that. So
then you got Bitcoin.
Right. So these are different denominations. And it's the same thing with the different denominations of churches. It's the same thing at different denominations of currency. And I think what we're talking about in the European Union is a rebranding and a repackaging, because the royal crown, their stash of cash, you know, if you want to go all the way back, the Egyptians, you know, left Africa and moved into Italy, and then the Holy Roman Empire branched out through Europe into London and then on into America. But you can only run the scam so many times before even the fractional reserve usurious magic trick that they've been playing all these centuries, you know, runs its course, and you got to come up with a new baseline, a new hook to reel in the next round of suckers.
Can we link this up with DNA showing the trail? I'm just curious.
DNA?
I mean, like, literally, we see DNA from people with Egypt, and we see this, you know, similarity.
I would think, Drew, I think that's an interesting avenue to go down, but I would think that the group that you're talking about is so small that we wouldn't be able right. to identify.
But what you can do, you know, is look at their iconography. So, you know, the dove, the eagle, the crown, all of these things are spread through Egypt into Rome, into England, into America. You know, it's not the black magicians, the dark magicians, these, you know, underbelly of sorcerers. Yeah, if you look at, you know, because the dollar bill is a good example. The dollar bill itself has never changed since it's been the dollar bill. And if you look at all the sigils and iconography and different talismanic, you know, art on there, that's, you know, the eagle and the pyramid, it's everything on the dollar bill, the owl, it all goes back to Egypt, because it's when the, you know, this guy named Jesus, whose birthday is not coming up, you know, smacked the money changers and tried to toss them out of the temple. You know, it's the same scam, and they stay true to their form because, you know, whether or not people want to believe in magic or, you know, creating golems or tulpas, all these mind forms, these, you know, money itself has become a living entity.
Well, I mean, let's just consider Arthur C. Clarke's quotation, any sufficiently advanced technology will appear as magic.
Right, and it works, and it's hard for people to wrap their head around, but, you know, it keeps on working.
Mm. Jake, I wanted to ask you, where did you get the allopathic, I mean, I'd always thought, I always had my own suspicions. I didn't think it went as deep as what you'd put, but I can't say
I'm always looking for this damn owl.
Oh, it's under one of the ones on the backside.
On the backside. I'm going to carry on, John.
Upper left-hand corner. If I remember right, sinister is the Latin word for left. Sinister. So look under the left-hand one.
Wow. That, see, you're always doing that, man. You got to quit doing that. Well, I ain't going to talk to you.
Hey,
no
listen,
more.
I took 4 years.
I ain't talking to Jake anymore.
I took 4 years of AP Latin. And, you know, it blew my mind wide open with the magic of words, even. So, sorry, Drew. Go ahead with your question.
Well, no, I was asking you where you got the information for the suicide about allopathic versus homeopathic, and basically how they were. Because allopathic had all that money in it, and it's basically poisonous comparatively to the homeopathic.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a piece of a documentary. I don't know it off the top of my head. My computer keeps tabs on things like that for me. But if you...
Could I find it on Netflix, maybe, or...?
Shoot me an email to manapples@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link when I get back in front of my PC.
All right. I was just, I just found it kind of fascinating, but I wasn't surprised at the same time. I mean, it's the same reason why, I'll be honest, if I ever find myself with cancer, I'll never get chemo. I'll just run off to the rainforest and try to find something. I'm not kidding, Mike. I'm not going to destroy my body and, you know, risk if I want to have kids. And I want to have kids someday. And
I'm just saying, I appreciate that. It just, how do I say this without sounding condescending and mean? Because I really don't mean it to be. Because we're all in the same boat. And it's just funny because it's easier to see it in other people than ourselves sometimes. But that's very much like something that my son would say. I mean, and I truly am not denigrating you. I'm saying that.